side door?
Slide.
It slides open to the... Yeah, pull it open. Towards me. That'll wake it up. Okay, great to see you all. And good morning. There are plenty of seats up front. I've noticed over the years that there's a certain kryptonite dynamic that happens when it comes to trainings. But if anyone would like to move further forward, you are certainly welcome to do so. It is a pleasure to be with all of you. Thank you, Rabbi Muller, for inviting me here this morning. It feels like, I think the great Yogi Berra used to say, deja vu all over again. For those of you not familiar, I actually taught in the academy when it was the old academy, which is now, I think, the Weizner Theater. And so it's great to be back. It's sort of like being in a time warp. You know, you go somewhere and you don't see them again for about 13 years, and people have changed a little bit, shockingly. But I've stayed the same. I've not aged at all, not a day, clearly. But everybody else. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, it's really great to be with you, and we are going to talk about a topic that is near and dear to my heart, and hopefully will be very valuable to all of you. The thing that I'm going to ask you to do, for now there are no papers to distribute, but there will be soon. You could do this in your mind, but if you have anything to write on, I would recommend that if you see me practice what I preach, please write down examples of that, because I would like to do a little tally on the back end to see what are some examples that were practiced in the session itself. So I'm not here to pontificate. We will be getting into groups a little bit later. Many of you actually will find the form of cooperative learning that we will do, I think, very useful to you. Just out of curiosity, how many of you are teaching lower elementary, let's say through fifth grade? How many of you teach middle school? How many of you teach primarily high school? Okay, a lot of high school folks. Okay, so you guys in particular, we have a tendency, I taught in the academy, as I mentioned, so I think high school, oftentimes, we have this tendency to be almost like, you know, wannabe college professors, more the pontificating type, stage on the stage, you know, we're just going to talk, and students will figure out the note-taking thing, and we're not necessarily thinking as much about engagement. But I think even for high school students, I would tell you even for myself as an adult learner, if I had to sit all day like you guys have to do and listen to people like me just talk at you, I'd go out of my mind. And I'm not sure how much I'd get out of it. But if you can find ways to integrate it, and of course, as the teacher, if you can find ways to ensure that that integration is happening, then you'll be in a better place. Does that make sense? Okay? Now, some of this will be obvious to you, some of this not so much. But regardless, it doesn't matter, because the most important thing is that we remind ourselves of good practices, and we integrate those practices into our daily routine. That's the goal here. So what I want everybody to do on the back end of this presentation is to say, what are two things from this presentation that I can easily integrate into my practice that won't make me redo everything, but will allow me, as a result of what we learned today, to be better at what I do and engage more of my students. If you try to do something difficult, the likelihood of implementation is very low. We all know that. Right? There are inner voices that tell us not to do things, and of course we have other forms of resistance as well. But if we take things that say, oh, I can do that. I can do that in my sleep. I'm already doing it. Let me do more of it. That's really the goal here, at least the way I see it. So let's dive into this. And I'm going to ask you to do this in think, pair, share format. Can anyone show, by the way, let's use a fist to five to indicate your comfort level with a think, pair, share as an instructional tool, let's call it. Okay? Five means I can get up and describe it to all of you because I'm super comfortable with it. Fist means I don't even know what this guy's talking about. Never heard of it before. Makes no sense to me. And it's a six-point scale. So fist is a zero. One or two is kind of close to a fist, maybe you know a little bit. Three and four is approaching a five, but not quite a five. And a five is a master. So if you do raise a five, I might actually ask you to describe it to the group. So do be forewarned. Okay? Would anyone be, can everybody please self-indicate, put it in front of you so only I see it. Self-indicate anything from a fist to a five, how comfortable you are in terms of your knowledge of what think, pair, share is and how to utilize it in class. I'd like to see everybody respond, even if you haven't had your second cup of coffee yet today. Can I see your response as well, please? Think, pair, share? With the finger indicating. Okay, so I do see some fives. I see some ones. I appreciate your honesty, by the way. There are more ones, twos, and threes than fives. Would any of the fives be willing to share what it is and how it works? By the way, for those of you who were not here, I asked everybody at the beginning to write down things that you see me do that would be an indication of getting participants to be more active in the learning process. Fist to Five would be one of them. Right? Because immediately I asked you for feedback, right? And you all did a self-assessment. We could talk a little bit more about the validity of a Fist to Five, right? How valid is it if a student puts up a five? The answer is you ask them and see if they really know. But you're already getting them thinking about it in a way that you wouldn't otherwise. Does that make sense? That's really the goal in a lot of what we're doing. Moving them into an active posture rather than a passive participant in which whatever is more important to them in their mind takes precedence. So yesterday's football score or football game or, you know, today's recess activity or whatever, right, will typically be more important to them than what you want to teach them unless you make it more important or minimally you draw them into it. So would any of the fives be willing to say what a think, pair, share is and how we use it? Yes, please.
So basically, you give a question, question, or to regroup with them, and then you peer. Usually, the easiest way to do it is to just peer them with the person next to them,
right,
together, move around,
right,
and they discuss what they're thinking. They share. The share part could be used in two ways. They each share with their partner their thoughts, but also the share can then be with everybody else. Each group then shares with the rest of the class.
Wonderful. Can someone in the back please repeat what was just said? I do sometimes worry about the folks in the back. No, I'm just kidding. But I do have seats in the front, plenty of them, in case you'd like to move further forward. Anyone be willing to repeat that? Yes?
It's when you give a prompt, you have the student do it either by themselves first and then share with the partner, and then you share with the rest of the class.
So it's a three-step process. By the way, who does Think, Pair, Share benefit in particular? Think modalities, think Howard Gardner. Who does Think, Pair, Share benefit? What kind of learners? Yes.
Students are self-conscious.
Okay. But let's plug it into the eight intelligences that we know from Howard Gardner. Anyone in particular, which subgroup oftentimes doesn't get a lot of love, but deserves more of our attention and focus? Your hand up?
Yes.
I do Moonlight, by the way, is a fine art auctioneer, so if your hand does go up unintentionally, it might cost you a few grand. Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
The quieter.
Let's translate quieter into a little bit of a different form. You're on the right track. What would we call those people?
Introverted students.
I like the in part. Let's stay with the in.
Introverts.
Who are introverts? Can anyone define the term for us? Yes, what's an introvert? Please, yes.
People who derive their energy from being by themselves.
Yes, or in small settings. Right. I personally am introverted, which surprises people sometimes because I'll get up and talk to an audience. Some of the most famous people in the world are actually introverts. In fact, years ago when I still lived here, at the time, in addition to teaching at the academy, I was also the associate principal at the Weizmann Center. And at that time, there was a leadership group, if you will, that met from different organizations, not only schools. And there was somebody who underwrote a 360, which is a 360 assessment. You might be familiar with those where you get feedback from different levels within your organization. And in that process, I learned about introversion versus extroversion, and I also learned that most of the participants identified as introverts. And these are people who are interacting with hundreds of constituents every single day. So it's not about your ability to be public or private, it's about where you source your energy. So after a day like this, some people will be super enthused, right? Their energy will be through the roof because they're engaging with people all day long. And then you have people who just need a place. You know, that's why the flight home is always just so relaxing because I'm spent at that point in time. So anyway, so you're going back to the think, pair, share. The think part is the part we often don't utilize enough. We want to jump right in with responses. There's very few things that trouble many teachers more than a vacuum or a void in your classroom, and you're afraid that some kid's going to interrupt that with a spitball, if you know what I'm saying. So we like to have rapid fire. We want to have continuous flow of talking and activity. But giving students, especially your introverts, space to think, an opportunity to reflect. What was it like for Yitzchak Avinu when he was up on the Mizbeach waiting for the Akedah to be completed? Right? Construct a tefillah if you're in that situation. Let's just say. So now you're tapping into Bloom's taxonomy. You're asking them to be much more creative in their thought processes. It's a much higher level of cognition. And it's also much more connected. I'll remember that much longer than just names and dates. So the knowledge and understanding, the foundations of Bloom's taxonomy you need, but that's not the part we really remember. It's when we get integrated into the learning, we're asked to do something that I can relate to. That's why we remember things that are episodic in nature, like 9/11, because it's so much more holistic in many ways. So these are the questions I want you to answer. Now, there are two. The first one is, what is the person saying? The second one is, what are its implications? So the first 60 seconds, and this is the big challenge for all of you, okay, is to be silent, just read the quote and think about it. I will let you know when it's time to turn to the person next to you. And as they tell you on the airplanes, that person might be behind you. Actually, that's just with the exits, but you get the idea. So depending on where you're sitting, if you have a person right next to you, great, you might have to find someone. Okay, and then I'll ask for a few volunteers to share. So let's kindly take 60 seconds now to review the quote, and we'll come back to that very soon. There should be no talking at this time. I don't want to have to take anyone's lunch away. Yes, am I blocking?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm that guy. Okay. While you're reading this, think about the most important words. If you had to underline them, what would they be? Seconds. Once we start, I'll give you about 90 seconds to discuss with the person seated next to you, and then we'll quickly debrief. We've got a ton to get to today. Okay. At this point, everybody kindly find a partner, and please answer the two questions. Everybody, I really like the way that you follow the instructions from the outset, right? Step one, step two. And by the way, that's really important with any time you do cooperative learning. You don't want to let the cats out of the bag until you have everybody clear on what needs to happen. If you're ever not sure, I recommend the fishbowl method, which is where you model it with a small group of students before you allow everybody else to participate. Sometimes you'll bring students in from the previous year to demonstrate what that looks like. But for now, what would you say was your biggest takeaway? Any volunteer? I didn't mention it, but I'll mention it now. You can quickly nominate one another. There should be one spokesperson per pairing, so I will not ask every pair. We don't have time for that. But I will ask a few brave, I'll have one, and then two. Anyone else? You're one. Two. Anyone else? Three. Can anyone, by the way, see the benefit in numbering off in advance? What is it? Who said yes? What's the benefit?
Let the others with their arms raised know that they're in line.
They're in line? So they don't have to ooh, ah at you the entire time? Do you ever have students that ooh and ah at you? Even here. It's shocking. Okay. It also gets... Now, by the way, also, another benefit is I could be taking notes and I don't have to turn around and keep calling on somebody new. I'm in the flow at this point, which also helps. Number one, go ahead.
the phrasing, you'd also said it earlier, but it's stage on the stage versus guide on the side.
Okay. So the focus is to be more guide over stage. Okay? Thank you. Anyone else? Number two? Yes.
I'm not sure what the question is. To explain what he's saying?
What your main takeaway is for now.
Main takeaway?
Yeah.
I mean, I think we have to focus on the students, not on the teacher.
Uh-huh.
And I think there are lots of consequences that come from that. Are we on that yet or no? No, okay. Are we in consequences already?
Consequences?
Like implications?
Not yet. But that's a good start. I mean, we can come back.
Process of learning.
Excellent. Okay. Number three?
I think sometimes it's a shift off of the material that we feel like we need to cover.
To what?
To the students.
Okay. So similar concept, maybe with slightly different application. What are the implications of this? I know you have something to say. Just bear with me for a moment. Anyone who did not yet get an opportunity, what are the implications of what he's saying on our learning and our teaching? You really are undercaffeinated, I've noticed. Anyone? Go ahead. What are we thinking?
I mean, the implication is that when you have a lot of material, teaching Chumash, teaching Gemara, and you need to pick and choose what's the right for the student, what's right for the students to make checks to see how they're doing. Just because you've covered the Tosos doesn't mean that they're ready to move on.
Right, right. So Rabbi Fliegelman and I used to teach Jewish history at the Academy. He probably still does. But I used to teach Jewish history at the Academy many years ago, and I had it harder with him, if I'm being honest, because he had about 500 years worth of history, and I had about 2,500 years worth of history. And we had about, maybe had a little bit less instructional time, but it was a lot of history to teach in one period a day, 4.5 days a week, over 1 year. Okay, so I really had to pick and choose. And when I gave a final, for example, and I wanted it to be cumulative and really to have them studying all of that, again, I had to be selective. Oftentimes you have to ask yourself, what are the most important pieces of knowledge and skills that if my students don't graduate my class with, I will have failed. And that's, by the way, true for your class every day as well. What are the main things that if they don't capture these points at the beginning, we would call it a failure because maybe I taught, but did they really learn? Okay, so anyone here with a LinkedIn profile, when we're done, I'd like you to change whatever title you've given yourself, educator, teacher. I'd like you to call yourself from now on a facilitator of learning. And the reason for that is because it doesn't matter how well you teach. It's irrelevant. The only thing that matters is how well they've learned. And if you can't shift your mindset away from teaching to learning, then you've missed the point. I don't mean to talk down to anyone. I mean all of us together. That's really the idea. But you can't miss that point. That's critical. And by the way, you can't wait for the test to determine that. You need to know that. Right? So, well, it's actually been a while at this point. The famous Ramban at the Akedah, why does Hashem test us? Right. If Hashem knows the outcome, why does he test us? Does anyone remember the answer?
Menusa.
I'm sorry?
For the menusa.
For the menusa, for the one who's being tested, to extract the potential and make it real. Me'akoa halapoa, right? Now, when you're a teacher of a class, it's not quite that you're not Hashem. None of us are. But you should know with a pretty good level of accuracy where each of your students are holding because you've assessed them on a regular basis. So if you can imagine a coin, one side of the coin is active learning, the other side of the coin is formative assessment. Through active learning and through continuous checking, you're also gaining data points to determine is the learning actually occurring or not. Does that make sense? So again, it's no longer about how well you taught, it's about how well they learn. The only way to know that is, number one, to create active learning situations, but then, of course, assess the learning as you go. Okay? So that's really the essence of it. I would love to spend more. I'll take your point, and then we're going to move on because we have a lot to get to. What is your question?
I just had a question on here what people think about. If we focus on our students, sometimes I find myself cutting out of my curriculum just to see where the students are, but also I find that I don't necessarily push them to the skills that they could get, and I think it's a consequence of being too student-focused and figuring where they are now and meeting them where they are. And if I wouldn't do that, I find maybe I could be pushing them harder and they could be growing more. And I want to know how to...
Okay, so it's a big topic. It does touch on differentiation, certainly. You do have to know where your different students are, but I personally am of the belief that if you challenge them slightly above where you feel they currently are, you will get them, for the most part, to rise to your expectations. You obviously don't want to be too high, but you do want to continually think about how can I push them to the next level. So if you're meeting them where they are, that almost has a minimalistic feel to it. It's like you're lowering yourself to them. But if you are always thinking about, they're here, how do I bring them up a level? That's the goal of education. It's about moving them continually along a continuum, but also to try to continue to improve their skill set. And that can only happen with rigor, right? We know where they are, but you're pushing them to be able to do more. The question is, how does each student interconnect? And that's a longer conversation, I think. But it's a great question. It's an important question to consider. Okay, so with that said, let's now talk quickly about the benefits. Just out of curiosity, if you could rank these, I'll give you a moment to read them. I'm curious to know which one in your mind would be your number one. Okay, so read the five benefits listed over here, and then we'll survey the room in a moment and ask you which of these five do you think is most beneficial for your students. Again, I'm only asking you to raise your hand when your number one is identified. So I'm going to go through all five. If it's number one, when I say one, you'll raise your hand. If your number one was not one, just keep your hand down. Does that make sense? Okay, those who thought number one to be the greatest benefit, raise your hand, please. Okay, there's no right or wrong answer. It's a personal view. Number two? Okay. Number three? Number four? And number five. Okay, so four did not get a lot of love, but three certainly did. Would anyone from number three like to share why you chose that? Yes?
I just feel that number three can lead to all of the other four. So okay. If their motivation is increased and they are more engaged and they're gaining more skills and they're getting more, okay, maybe the feedback piece isn't as much connected, but and then they're involved in it or thinking just because if they're not motivated, they're not going to be involved in it.
Okay. Okay, great. Does anyone know what I just did that was a tie-in to our topic today? Yes, Rabbi?
You engaged everybody.
In what way? What did I ask you to do?
To give everyone's opinion.
Okay, but what was the specific action I asked you to do? Yes?
I think there were no right or wrong answers, but we should say...
Well, that's true, but what was the actual thing I asked you to do? Yes? It starts with the letter R. Rank. Okay, ranking is one of the... If you think about Bloom's taxonomy, it's... Is it analysis? Probably analysis. Yeah, I'm moving you up the cognitive food chain. Again, it's a higher level question than simply say, what are the five benefits? Because I'm not just asking what they are, I'm asking you to rank them based on the benefits to you as you see them. Okay, something to think about. All right, so a lot of benefits. I think if we got any of these, we'd be happy. If we got all five of them, you know, that's super beneficial. Now, have any of you ever seen this in some variation?
Take step over.
Look at the left side. You might have seen it maybe in the opposite direction. How much we remember based on the way that the information is presented. Anyone? Heads up and down if you've seen this before, side to side if you've not. Up and down if you've seen it before, side to side if not. By the way, that's another form of active learning as well as assessment. Okay? Right there. Easy enough, right? Okay, so I'm pointing it out to you because why not? It's a free country. Okay, so this is actually very true. The reason I'm able to quote that Ramban to you in many of the things is because I taught it for years. I could recite things in Jewish history back of hand because I taught it. When you teach things, you remember them best. When you get your students to teach each other, they'll remember it best. What do we do today that sort of had a feeling of teaching? Maybe not fully, but at least to a degree.
That's a defined term.
The share part. Of the thing, fair share. It wasn't quite teaching. You don't have to really... Why is teaching so valuable, by the way? Why is it so powerful? What is it about asking students to teach each other, either one-to-many or one-to-one, that makes the memory so exceptional comparative to other things? You're all teachers. Why do you remember your content better than any other content you encounter? Yes? Yeah, please.
Own it.
I'm sorry?
You own it.
You own it. Okay. What else do you have to do in order to own it? What do you have to do in order to own the material? Yes?
Learn it.
You have to learn it. But more than just learn it, you have to... Rabbi?
Explain it.
Explain it.
Yeah.
But there's a piece before you explain it. What is it? You have to understand it to such a degree that you can anticipate the questions, you can ensure that there are no gaps in the information, that you chose the modality that's most beneficial. It's a process. But when you've gone through that process, it's so deeply incorporated into your memory, you're going to hold on to it much longer. Right? It's almost like the deeper you put it in, the longer you're going to be able to extract it. But things that go in superficially go out superficially. It's not quite that simple, right? But you get the idea when it comes to brain-based learning and memory and retention. The more effort that goes into the process of understanding, the greater the retention will be typically on the back end. Okay? So, for our purposes, these areas here are forms of active learning. So you'll know it better in the short term. You'll remember it typically better for the long term as well. Now, who has ever had the experience of testing your students on content? You did a great job teaching it. They understood it in the moment. They took a test. They did exceptionally well. And the following week, you asked a question about it, and it was as if you're speaking a foreign language. Has anyone ever had that before? Yeah? You had that Looney Tunes, Which Way Did He Go, George? You know what I'm talking about? For those old enough to remember. I had that many times. Why did that happen? Because they were only remembering for the test. They didn't have it deep. But that's the one thing that I think our lesson plans do not include, that everybody should be adding moving forward. For all of you, and I don't know how many of you this includes, but for all of you who are still writing lesson plans, I would encourage all of you to ask yourself the question, how will they remember this? How can I make this sticky? How can I make this something that's meaningful to them in a week, a month, a year from now? So when I used to teach the zugos, which are the pairs of the Tanoim in the Masorah that's recorded in Pirkei Avos, right? So it says we had Shimon HaTzadik, and then afterwards we have the five, so Yossi ben Yoeser, Yossi ben Yochanan, Yeshua ben Prakha, Nita Arbele. How do I remember that? Yes, I taught it, but it's over 10 years at this point. The answer is because it goes great with Kalvath and Kelokinu. Yossi ben Yoeser. So if you sing the whole thing, and then you do the high part, then you remember it, right? You put it to song. We actually did the eight generations of from Hillel to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Shimon Gamliel, Shimon Gamliel. That's Yahweh. Shimon Yehuda, Gamliel Yehuda. That's it. That's all I know. Okay? So now, you remember it because you put it to music. Anything in music is going to win. Music is the way to go, as much as you can. Even with high school. And it was Ad Kedekat, we had this anomaly in Jewish education that only existed in the academy. We had students roaming the hallways. Such a thing existed. And whenever an upperclassman, somebody older than sophomore, because that's when I taught Jewish history, would be making his or her way around my classroom, which I kept my door open almost always, if they ever heard the Zugo song, they'd jump right in and they'd be with me almost instantaneously. Because you can't forget that. And by the way, if you didn't think on the test, they weren't singing it to themselves as they were filling in the names, you're mistaken. By the way, as a quick aside with the test, do you ever have the experience where the students sort of pick up their head and they look at you, almost like they're looking through you, and then they put their heads back down and they continue? Do you know why they're doing that? Anyone? Why does that happen?
They're recalling.
But why are they looking at you?
Different.
Okay, so you are the source of their memory. Years ago, at a day like this, we had this memory expert from Peoria, and she talked about, I do not advise anyone, the guys probably could get away with this, she did not change her outfit the entire unit. So her outfit on the day of the test was a piece of her serving as a memory as a trigger for their memory. There's a term for it, I'm forgetting at the moment. But that's actually important too. That's why you should never give a test in a place other than the room where the learning occurred. Like, for example, a big test in a gymnasium should not happen. That's why the teacher should never give a test on a day that they'll be out and ask the sub to deliver. Because then what you're doing is you're depriving your students of the memory triggers that you can only provide because you delivered the content in the first place. Does that make sense? Okay? So be mindful of those kinds of things. I learned that only later in many cases. So guilty of some of those. Yes?
If they're only going to remember it for the test, I might hear the benefit, but if they're supposed to know it for the long run, why should that really make a difference?
Well, they're supposed to, but let's start with the reality. By the way, another trick you want to teach your students is something called a mind dump, which is a brain dump, where you literally, when they have things only in their short-term memory, encourage them to write it down on the side of the test before they start. If there are 10 pieces of information they're not going to remember, a mathematical formula, you know, the names of certain individuals in a history class, whatever, say, write it down. Look, we create the rules. If it comes, if they enter the test with the information somewhere in their head, it's not cheating. If they pull it off a piece of paper, it is cheating, right? So if we make the rules, we may as well encourage them to succeed within the rules we've created. Okay, with that all said, let's continue. We're going to Jigsaw. Would anyone like to share how Jigsaw works? Okay, I've got a couple of hands, so before I do, let's mystify one more time. Using Jigsaw as a cooperative learning technique. 5 means I can get up and describe it to everybody here. 4 means I know most of it, but I'm a little bit unclear on some of the details. 3, 2, 1, fist. Can everybody please self-assess on Jigsaw as a cooperative learning strategy? Hold it up high enough for me to see, but not high enough for everybody to see, unless you don't care. Okay, all answers please, even in the back. Okay, so arrange. I'll do it in the interest of time because we don't have a lot, although I thank those of you who did raise your hands. Jigsaw is a 2-stage process. What you want to do is you want to create expertise in a percentage of the content, and then you have those expert learners teach what they've learned to their peers, and then their peers who become experts on the rest of the content teach them. So what you're doing is you're giving them ownership on a percentage, let's say 25%, and then the other 75% of the content, they're learning from each other. So far, so good? The way you do that is you take information that you want them to learn, and you divide it into chunks. Okay? So as an example, let's say there's a presidential election, and you're down to, let's go back to, let's say, 2016. Okay? So I think at the time you had maybe Trump and Cruz on the Republican side. Kasich was sort of there, but let's pretend he wasn't. Okay? And then you had Hillary and Sanders, I think, at the time. Yeah? So let's say those are the 4 that I have left. And I want every one of my students to learn more about these candidates in detail. So I'll give each group 1 candidate's information. They'll learn their candidate well, and then they'll go back and they'll teach each other. So you start with an original group that you actually don't start with. You sort of start with them. You then move into an expert group. That's where you engage on the specific content that's yours to learn. Then you go back to your original group, and you share with each other. Okay? So what you need to remember is, now, in order to make this work, I have to give you the content. Okay? By the way, there will be a quiz on this when we're done. I'm not joking. I have a quiz here. It's right here. Okay? Anyone doesn't believe me, you're going to get it. And your scores, I mean, Rabbi Muller did ask me to share all that with him. So I probably will, just because I'm a nice guy. Can I have 2 volunteers for distribution? Actually, 2 amongst the ladies, 3 to volunteer total. Anyone? Okay, could you begin, just somebody on this side, distribute here, and could I trouble you to do, I'm going to do 1 for myself, please distribute over here as well. Okay? Now, you will notice, as the strategies are being distributed, I need 3 more distributors, by the way. Any volunteers?
Sure.
Any other volunteers? Yeah? Who said sure? Okay, can we share on this side? You okay to walk? Anyone else on this side to distribute? Thank you very much. Anyone else on this side willing to distribute? Going once, going twice. Anyone? Thank you very much. Okay. Please. Yes. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to talk as the papers are being distributed because we are short on time. Hopefully everybody will listen. I might even ask you some clarifying questions to make sure that I did a good job. Let's start by looking at this paper over here. I really like the way these participants are nice and quiet. Thank you.
How many papers are there?
There should be 2 total. You should have this one. You should also have this one. This is the one we're looking at first, everybody. Okay. Now, you will notice that this one is numbered 1 to 6. Okay? Yeah. How many strategies are there total on this paper? 18. So I numbered them 1 to 6 3 times. Yeah? Okay. What's going to happen now is as follows. I'm going to number you off 1 to 6. Now, here's the tricky part. every time without failing, no matter how good a job I think I do, there's always that one person, or maybe six, that can't remember where they started. It's sort of like the Where's Waldo of group work. So we've got to be careful. So I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, 4. I'll go until 6. Then I'm going to start again. 1, 2, 3, 4. Remember your original 6. You can do this, everybody. Even if you haven't had coffee today, you can do this. Okay? Now, when I'm done, the ones will go to a certain place to choose the 3s, the 4s, the 5s, and the 6s. Gentlemen, I think I'm going to keep you guys separate, so just bear with me for a minute. Okay? But for the ladies, all right, so let's see how well the ladies follow instructions. This is a test of the public broadcasting system. It's only a test of. Okay, so you'll number up 1 to 6. The ones are going to go here. Let's follow closely. The 2s will come over here. The 3s will be over here. The 4s are going to come over here. The 5s are going back there. And then the 6s are going back over here. I didn't want to knock over the camera.
That's a good point.
I shouldn't say I've left months. Okay, please point to where the 1s are going, ladies. And the 6s. And the 4s. Pretty good. Okay, let's continue. So now, I'll get a number off. Okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And I'm going to keep doing it until we finish everyone. If somebody is a 3 and that's kind of where it stops, it doesn't matter. We'll have one extra person in that group. We'll figure it out later. Okay? So when you get into your specific group, if you're a 1, you're going to look at the 3 strategies that say 1 next to it. You'll then take out this paper over here. Okay? You'll notice I gave you 3 spaces where you're going to write the name of the strategy. So if you're a 1, what are you going to write in the first box right over here? And then this one? And then this one? Okay, this column over here, I just ask you to do a brief description of it, a summary. Right? That's level number 2 of Bloom's taxonomy. Comprehension. Being able to restate it in your own words. Okay? Then I want you to come up with relevant applications for your classroom. Are you with me?
Yep.
Remember, this is what you're teaching your peers. They're going to be relying on you. The weight of the world may be resting on your shoulders as we speak. So I need you all to take this exercise seriously. Okay? The 2s, by the way, are doing the same thing. So when we get into the next level, we're doing the cooperative piece. You're then going to sit with your original 6. You'll go in order and you're going to rotate and you're going to describe what you learned. Does that make sense? Any questions before we start? Are you sure? Okay. So remember, when we're done, there will be a quiz. So try to learn this as fast as you can. Forgive me for pointing, but I have no other way to do this. Certainly no time to leave remaining. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's your 6. Let's remember that. You're now in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Remember your group. Most of these will be 2 rows. Are you 1? 2? Yeah. 3, 4, 5. Six. Okay, let's start in the back corner. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and let's go back here for 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oh, yeah.
Did I say go from one side? Okay, I'm sorry. Let's see. So, well, we got all the numbers. Okay, let's see here. Okay, so the gentlemen will all come over here, and we'll figure out the distribution of content in a moment. Is that all right? You have to get the ladies situated. You guys are easier to manage. It's a smaller group. Okay, again, 1s, 2s, 3s, 4s, 5s, 6s. Happy learning, everybody.
The first digits are recorded in 3.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi. Is there extra? Thank you. We seem to be short on threes. Is there anyone here with three that wind up in the wrong group? Maybe just somebody's not in the wrong group. Will that mess us up later, though? We'll have to figure it out. Where will you stay? We're going to take four more minutes in this phase, so please try to finish your strategies in that format.
Can we have extra time?
For a small extra fee, I might consider. Oh, yes, do you have a question? Ladies and gentlemen, two more minutes. If you guys are done, you want to get the
allow the other event to join.
How much more time do you need? Ladies and gentlemen, one more minute. You guys are ready to get started. Go ahead. 30 seconds.
All right, let's have a look at that one. Yeah.
Me too. Okay, can I have everybody's attention on the lady side? Okay, this is going to be a little bit of a challenge. Just remind you, getting everybody back into their original groups, considering that we've moved. But we're going to try our best. Okay, so what I'm going to ask you to do is, to the best of your recollection, I want you to get back into the original group that you were in. As a reminder, we were probably in every two rows, give or take, there was a new group. So we'll have to figure out, hopefully you guys, I didn't number that. But the first group, who was in that very first group? Anyone in that original group that was close in the front? Please come side. You were in the front? Yeah? Okay. If you want to go back to your original seats, that's fine. That might be easier. Okay. Yeah. Don't worry so much about the way the chairs are set. Well, hopefully we can figure it out in a bit. Thank you.
And to make sure that you get
Thank you for doing what the text is.
Oh, sure.
So, I appreciate it.
Okay. Were you guys together? You're on the first. Are you like 4, 5, 6?
Just to be clear, and I guess this allows you to be more versatile.
Next, we're going to
Basically, there's like a one of the big things is just
And either using from the 18 strategies in front of you or anything else that you noticed modeled for you previously, I'd like you to please circle three that you feel are most useful for you.
That we saw, yeah. That you did?
Either what you saw me do or what you see over here, both. So think, pair, share with both. Right? But we use, let's say, signal responses. I'm not sure that that's on this list. Please circle three that you feel are relevant and are implementable in your class.
Sorry, we're on this one.
Yeah, on the list of 18.
Just the number or the word?
Just circle whatever's going to help you remember these are the three you chose. The point is, I don't expect you to implement all 18. But if you can implement three, that's I think, realistic. And again, it could be something you already do, you just want to do it more often. From the 18, choose any three that you think are most relevant to you. While you're doing that, I will distribute the quizzes. You can stay in your configuration. Anyone who's cheating is between you and the Rebunershul. Please take one and pass. If I didn't give you enough, please let me know. Please take one and pass. Is that not enough?
There we
go. That? Okay, ladies. Please take one and pass.
I scribbled on my head.
You didn't get enough, so you know I have more. If you did not get one after it's been distributed, please let me know. We have a few extras. This is closed book, ladies. Closed book. Sorry.
Just
guessing. Sorry, the elementary school teachers might have to just understand. In high school, we don't mess around. You don't need to put your name on. You don't need to. The part about getting you back to Rabbi Muller was a joke. This is just between you, me, and the good Lord. Okay?
Are you collecting?
No, not collecting. So do your best. Did everybody get one?
You know, if you put the team, so you have like a little longer on one side, turn the other side, you can change it. That's what I did.
There's too much talking over here, guys. Minus one for everybody. I haven't had the pleasure of doing that for a long time.
Yeah.
While you're finishing your quiz, and as you wrap up, before we review the quiz, I just want to tell you an incident that happened, I would say in this computer lab, but it was the original computer lab, the other building. I participated in a course called the JWT. That was when the internet was at 1.0 stage. And the idea at the time was to create these online lesson plans. Students could engage in using internet links to help them work through a process. And I used the Limud HaKodesh to teach the Avodah of Yom Kippur. I used it to teach Jewish history topics as well. The different personalities, if you will, in the genesis of the Daf Gemara. Everything from the Tanaim to the Amorim to all the Rishonim, etc. And so I actually, this is not for self-glorification, but just so you understand, I think I wound up making 5 or 6 of these. Everybody else in the group made between 0.5 and 1, maybe one person else did a second. But nobody else really used it, and so they lost it. And they didn't want to utilize it. Besides the financial investment and people coming from other communities, it was a bit of a chaval, it was a bit of an unfortunate reality that people didn't jump right in and utilize it, and then it was a lost skill. For the future. With everything, it's use it or lose it. So, we had hopefully a nice, engaging presentation today, but that's only useful if you have something that you can now take away from it and immediately implement. So, I asked you before to highlight, but what I'm going to ask you to do now, and then we're going to quickly review the quiz and we'll be done, is to write down 2 things, it could be in the bottom of the quiz, I don't care where you write it, 2 things that you plan on using in your class tomorrow that you're going to hold yourself accountable to. If you really don't believe you can, find an accountability partner in your group, that's fine too. But you should be able to say, I did or I did not do this, and I did this. Those 2 things. I don't care about the rest of the list. But choose to, write it down, commit to it, incorporate it in tomorrow's lesson plan. If you do that, the likelihood that you will start to utilize it, and then it will become unconscious competence. You won't even have to think about it. It becomes so back of hand that it's just another thing you do easily, without disrupting the flow whatsoever of your classroom. But you've raised the level of engagement significantly. While you're doing that, let's quickly review the answer to 1. Which of the following is not a form of cooperative learning? The answer, ladies, gentlemen? By the way, that's called choral response. That's another form of active learning. Okay, 2. True or false? Thumbs up or thumbs down for this one. Minute papers must be completed within a minute. True or false? Thumbs up or thumbs down? What do you think? They don't have to be.
You're cheating. I saw you.
They don't have to be, but they could be. By the way, another way to do that would be C for correct, I for incorrect. That's another way to do it.
I saw that.
Okay? Ladies and gentlemen, let's continue. 3, which of the following uses involve using real-life stories?
C,
case studies. Very powerful. 4, true or false? What do you think is the answer?
True.
And then finally, true or false for the last one?
True.
Okay, fantastic. You all deserve your break. Enjoy it. And have a great day, everybody.
Okay. Yes. No, we're just going. Yes. We're just going. Yes. We're just going. 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 We're just going.